Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. The Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Previously recorded with Mark as the host of The Mark Kohler Show.
Enjoy this fresh take on strategies to better live the American dream.
Everybody, to today's show, the last week of summer, at least for many of us. Labor Day hits this coming Monday, so here we are. And I know a lot of people are traveling, trying to get that last little bit of sun and vacation in this summer. And so I wonder what we'll have via live listeners. But I've already see a good group of you on the web listening through your computers. More of you are calling in by the minute. Thank you so much for being with us. Excited to have an incredible show following up on the rehab topic that we had last week. What am I thinking here? And this is going to be a really nice follow-up. We've got another expert on the rehabbing real estate topic. And so I'm thrilled to have him here talking about his take on how to rehab and make money and avoid the pitfalls. So for any of you that are buying real estate, selling real estate, these tips have been phenomenal. And I rarely do a back-to-back show on the same topic, but there was just so much last week that we couldn't get through. And I really wanted to drive these points home. So I'm excited to have you with me here. My name is Mark Kohler, your host, your CPA attorney, author, family man, entrepreneur, real estate owner. I just feel like I'm in the trenches with you and just trying to come up with a topic each week that can empower all of us to better live our American dream. It's tough. It's tough making it all happen. And I feel the pain, and I also feel the rewards. It's exciting having a little side business or a full-time entrepreneurial operation. You know, we're all in different areas. So it's cool. And thank you for being here. This is exciting for me every week doing a show. Pushing 7 years now, a weekly live radio show. I've learned so much, met so many amazing people, and want to thank you, the listener. Please spread the word if you don't mind. Take a link from the show, send someone a link to markjkohler.com or KKOS Lawyers or K&E CPAs or Self-Directed IRA Handbook. We've got four websites that really kind of all converge into one phone number or team. You know, we're all here, but please send a link out and let people know what we're doing. So, and once they're on the newsletter, they'll get the links to the show each week. So, as usual, I want to hit some important topics that were in the newsletter today. And, summer's kind of the break for us. There's a lot going on starting next week in September with workshops around the country by myself, Matt Sorensen. Jaron Bergeson's on the line with us today, one of our experts. He's going to be telling us about his tour that he'll be doing at least around Utah on estate planning. So we've got a lot of events coming up, and there are some of these folks for free. Some are a few bucks. Some are just a couple hundred dollars for a whole day, learning tax and legal strategies that can literally save you thousands of dollars. So I hope that it will enhance your experience of working with our law firm or accounting firm. If you have your own accountants, your own lawyers, or you're just wanting to get some additional information to have in your quiver of arrows, we're here for you. We're not going anywhere. So please check out the newsletter on the live events. If you got lost in your junk email or something like that, call anyone at the office and say, forward me the newsletter this week, and they'll send it right over to you. If you're listening to the show, you already know our number. Just Google my name or the law firm or accounting firm. But in the newsletter, the response to the new iPhone, the smartphone app. Sorry, you Android users out there. I don't want to be I want to be non-denominational here, bipartisan. For those that have a smartphone, we've got our new app, the Deductor app, and it's been really talked about a lot on our social media channels, and everywhere I go at the workshops, people are asking, how do I get this app? It's really cool. It's half the price of the cost you get in the App Store, so make sure you don't purchase this on the App Store. If you go through the website, it's cheaper, and half price. It's like under 10 bucks, $9-something a month, and you can track your mileage with GPS on your phone for tax deduction purposes, take pictures of receipts. They all go into a cloud. You can scan from your desktop. It all coordinates with QuickBooks. You're tracking your expenses while you travel, cash expenses you might miss. It can save you tons of money. And the deductor organization that I teamed up with on that, it's just a phenomenal program. So check that out. There's a little link on the website. Got some great articles this week. Matt Sorensen talks about the Roth IRA to Roth 401k roadblock. It is such a pain. I know even our expert rehabber that we've got on talking with us later today, Ryan Burke, we've talked about this so many times, how frustrating it is that you can have a Roth IRA and not roll it into a Roth 401k. You can roll a Roth 401k out to a Roth, but you can't go in reverse. Matt gives us an update on Congress and the IRS and Department of Treasury and how they're trying to get that changed. So that's a great little article. I talked about having an LLC. Should I even have an LLC? When does it make sense? When does it not make sense? Great little article there. And then an article on how to protect your gold and silver. I did some research, came up with some unique ways to hide your precious metals in your home, what you should be doing if you have that little stockpile, that little set of gold somewhere. What do you do? You know, a little James Bond pile of gold. So thinking of the movie Goldfinger. Anyway, so check out those articles. I think you'll like them. A couple videos out there. I'm doing my ALS bucket challenge. Yes, I need a haircut, but it's my summer surfer hair. I'll be cutting it for the fall probably. My wife's chiding me about that. Video from Matt Sorensen. Good stuff. So check out the newsletter. And I think plenty of info there that can impact your life in a huge way. So deadlines, remember, September 15th, just a couple weeks away, 2-3 weeks away, deadlines for LLC and corporate tax returns. Now, people always email me right after the show and say, hold it, Mark, I set up an LLC this year. Is there a deadline in 3 weeks? No, there's no deadline in 3 weeks for those that formed a corporation this year, in 2014, or an LLC this year. But if you formed an LLC last year and you have more than one owner, so if you have a husband-wife partnership and you wanted it that way, or a partner in a rental property, or you've got S-Corps in the mix, I don't know. This is part of the article I wrote, too, on LLCs. If you have a multi-member LLC, your tax return is due in 3 weeks. So get with your accountant, your CPA team, whoever you're using. We're already unable to promise a turnaround time. If we got your stuff tomorrow, our deadline to get your stuff in and make that deadline, we're going to do our best, but we can't make promises at this point. We'll just get it done as quickly as possible. So if you want to send in your info, we'll do our best. But get with someone. Get it done. The penalties and interest payments can be exorbitant. So that's the major deadline. Of course, October 15th, right around the corner, all of us, even myself, dreading filing my personal return on October 15th. So keep those in mind. Well, let's go to our first expert here. We don't get him on the radio show very often. He's so, so busy, and I'm honored to have him with us because I know what a sacrifice it is during tax time right now to find a few minutes with us. So we'll get him right out here. We've got Liddell Ayer, partner, my long-lost friend from brother from another mother, you know. He's awesome. Liddell Ayer, partner in K&E CPAs, and grateful to have him here running the Cedar City operation. So, Liddell, welcome.
Thanks, Mark. It's good to be on. You know, last time I was on, you weren't even hosting, so you don't know when I'm on. I'm usually on when you don't host.
Well, they got, you know, add some firepower to the show. I'm sure that's it. So.
Me well, and Jerem take I'm, control.
Yeah, we got Jerem coming up here shortly. I think he's on the line here, so we'll pull him out here shortly. But, no, Liddell, thanks for finding a few minutes with us. And I know you're seeing little issues as you're getting in this crunch time for helping people prepare their returns before the deadline, little tips and strategies that you're reminding people of. You got anything good for us this week? This is live and uncut, folks. I have no idea what Liddell could say here, so this could be huge.
Okay, I'll censor my real comments then regarding the ice bucket challenge, but I'll hold that back.
Oh, yeah, we'll come to that, yeah.
No, what I wanted to talk about today has to do with hobby losses. You know, we're always promoting small business, entrepreneurs, getting started. I just wanted to bring up a few points that have to deal with hobby losses. Now, in regards to business expenses, if you're in so-called business, expenses are always deductible if they're related to business. But the IRS really puts a scrutiny on taxpayers showing losses year after year after year, never showing any net income. The IRS always likes to come in and audit that and try to classify it as a hobby, something that you enjoy doing and you're trying to deduct it as a loss. And so I want to bring up a few of those points. I've handled an audit the last few years that dealt with hobby loss, and I was actually able to win it and come back and, you know, I didn't prepare the tax return, but I fought the IRS for this taxpayer. And I was able to come back and win it, and I'll clarify a couple of things on this, how I was able to win it. And it has to do when the courts are looking at whether it's a hobby or a business, here's a few pointers. One, you got to look at the manner in which you carry on the activity. Are you really in it to make money? Is it something you just enjoy doing? Not that business can't be fun, can't be something that you enjoy doing, but the manner in which you carry on that activity, the expertise you possess. Mark, you're talking about rehabs today. Expertise does somebody possess in rehabbing or getting into that? Have they been through trainings? Are they going to seminars? Are they trying to become a real expert in making money at doing that? Also, time and effort you expend. Do you spend much time trying to carry on this business? There's the big one that I actually won fought the IRS with. Any expectations that you have that assets used in the activity may appreciate in value. So if you're a software developer, and you show losses in this little software development business, but you expect you're going to get a program or an app out there a few years down the road. And so you could have appreciation in the value of that asset. The one I fought actually had to do with agriculture and the raising of cattle. And so, you know, with beef prices where they've come the last couple of years, I could show that there was an appreciation in that livestock. And those mother cows, maybe you bought them at $600 a head, and they've increased $800,000. Now you pay $1,500 or more a head on those cows. So that's a big one. They also, kind of interesting, they also look at your financial status. Where, you know, are you in poverty and trying to do this business? Or are you very wealthy and you're racing horses, raising cows, whatever it may be, that's kind of your hobby. So I just wanted to point out a few of those because we do promote, you know, entrepreneurship, we do promote small business. Just if you need some help in that regard, though, contact us because we can help you get started on what you need to do to document that so this does not get classified as a hobby.
Well, great comments, Liddell. And it really, some of you are thinking, well, gosh, isn't there a bright line test? And it is subjective, and this is where sometimes, you know, knocking out a small business return on TurboTax can be a little dangerous because if you don't know the breadth and depth of some of these issues, you can make a big mistake preparing your own return once you have a small business. We told a lot of people, if you just got a W-2 and some mortgage interest and charity, go get TurboTax. That's fine. But once you have that small business, I think these types of issues really mean you've got to have that second set of eyes. I don't know. You agree? Or?
Well, and it's kind of what I just talked about. You got to have that expertise, too. You know, everybody has their expertise in something, whether it's tax preparation, rehabbing homes, selling real estate, growing cattle, growing alfalfa, whatever it may be. Everybody has their expertise. So go get that expertise if you need it. You know, if you need somebody to wire that rehab house you're doing, you're not going to do it because you don't know electrical. You use the experts out there to do what you need them to do.
Well, if you don't think the home office, I'm sorry, not the home office, if you don't think the hobby loss rules are complicated enough, Liddell, can you just explain the differences here between a cow, a bull, a heifer? I mean, this is totally confusing to me. So if you had to get in this with the IRS, I mean, this has confused me before. You want to explain that real quick?
You really want me to explain it? I've had to explain
in
it before.
In a sentence or two.
Okay, a bull is a male bovine cattle, male cattle. A cow is a female cattle. What else did you want? A heifer? A heifer is like a teenager. A steer.
Okay. There we go. This is where I get all confused. Okay.
A steer, I can't say it on the radio.
Oh,
a steer
we're not
is
FCC
part male. Part male with no testosterone. That's the best way to put it.
He's lost a couple parts. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So a steer is a bull that's lost a few parts, and then,
yes.
Okay, all right, okay. So all this, you know, it's very complicated in this agricultural world, so I don't know. Did you get into that in the audit? Well, we'll leave it at that. So anyway, Liddell, thanks for the tips. This is good stuff. This small business write-off. Hey, have you done your ALS bucket challenge yet?
No, I have not. I just barely saw your video this morning.
Okay, well. Okay, we're excited to see
you. I'm working on it.
Okay, we'll say. Be careful. Don't get hit in the head by the bucket.
I got women lining things up to do it, so.
Okay.
They're going to take care of it.
Well, fun. Well, I those bloopers on Facebook of people getting hit by the bucket, those are classic. So, well, Liddell, thanks for your time today. Happy tax season, and we'll see you in a few weeks.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Thank you. All right. Well, one other tipster here for a few minutes before we get to our main event with Ryan Burke, the rehab expert. We're so excited to hear from here. So we'll be bringing Ryan on the line here shortly. But we've got Jaron Bergeson, a regular contributor to the show, giving us a legal tip for the week. If we're not saving taxes, we're protecting your assets. We've got Jaron Bergeson, the attorney running our Utah operations. Generally my backup post when I'm on the road. So he knows radio. Jaron, welcome to the show.
Great to be here, Mark. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks. Well, now, since you've been in the trenches not preparing for a radio show all week, got any good legal tips for us? What do you got?
Well, I was hoping you wanted me to explain the difference between illegal contact and defensive holding and defensive pass interference. I can't do the heifer and the bull and the steer, but I could do that. But I guess I digress.
It is NFL season, and for those that don't know Jaron, he is a huge NFL fan. So he'll be giving us our updates in staff meeting.
Exactly.
Oh, and Jaron, I'm not sure if we lost you here. Oh, we did. We lost Jaron here. He just dropped off the line. So we'll bring him back here shortly. Let me make a quick announcement here while we get Jaron back on the line. As we get near the end of the show, the last 5 minutes, I want to talk about some of the hot deductions that taxpayers, specifically small business owners, miss on a regular basis. I'm holding a webinar Thursday. It's a one-hour webinar on these hot deductions. Now, for those that are part of my monthly webinar series, I do an hour answering questions with my computer screen, a bunch of slides, my webcam is up, taking calls the whole time on a specific topic where we really dive in. And it's more than I can do in a workshop or even in a radio show. So it's a nice little $20 a month service to just kind of be on that webinar. So for those of you that want to take that time, we're going to be doing it Thursday night at 5 p.m. Pacific. And if you're able to tune in, we'd love to have you. And right here at the end of the show, we're going to go into as many of those details as we can. And I just want to kind of introduce that webinar and really leave you with a few little tax tips, if you will, on the hottest deductions that most small business owners miss. So anyway, for a moment there, we've lost Jaron, and I wanted to make that announcement anyway, so that was perfect timing. But we've got Lisa Owens in the studio. Lisa, I still haven't seen Jaron back. Are you there?
I am here. I'm going to go back and see what's going on. He hasn't called back in just yet.
All right. Well, we'll probably move on to our expert, Ryan Burke. We've got him here on the line, so we're going to just do that and tell Jerem, save his tip. It's okay. We got.
I will do that.
We got Ryan. We got plenty to go over here for this the rest of the show, so we'll catch him next week. Thanks so much, Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, without any further ado, this is part two of rehabbing properties, and I want to give a little summary of where we left off last week as we introduce our guest for this week, Ryan Burke, a national speaker on how to rehab properties. He's done over 400. We've got, maybe it's not me that's dropped off.
Are you there? Can you hear me?
Lisa, I'm here. Can you hear me, Lisa?
Now I can hear you.
I've got Ryan Burke saying he can't hear me. Do we have live radio here? Let's make sure we've got it on the computers for someone here. So I'm not sure if Lisa, you can confirm that. Give me 1 second. Let's do that. Oh, looks like we've got multiple people that have lost me on the show. So I'm going to call back in, Lisa, see if I'm the problem.
Okay, sounds good.
Can you hear me, Lisa?
Yes, I can hear you, Ryan.
Okay.
All right, Mark Kohler here, and hopefully we've got live radio here for everybody listening. I want to make sure we've got Lisa or Ryan Burke. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you.
I can hear you too, Mark. Oh,
there we go. Okay, well, Lisa in the studio, I think we've figured out the problem. We're good to go. And, boy, I'm not even sure if people heard my amazing introduction of Ryan Burke. Ryan, did you hear me talking? Did I just go silent there for a bit?
I actually didn't hear you talking, and even if I did, I would say I didn't, because I would definitely like to hear you talk about me again.
Well, right, that's great. Great comment. All right. Well, folks, gosh, this is 2 weeks in a row. We've gone months without any technical difficulties. And last week, Ryan, it was embarrassing. The power went out, and we lost our connection for the show. And then just now, ironically, we lost Jerem and myself for some reason. And so anybody that's listening, I am so sorry. We should be back on live. I'm looking at the chat window where people are commenting. They can hear me. Thanks, everybody, for your patience. Gosh, it's sometimes hard to do a show like this and keep everybody listening with technology. So, okay, so folks, here, let me do this introduction again quickly here. So we've got Ryan Burke with us, who is a national expert on how to rehab properties. He's done over 400 properties. He's with the education group Fortune Builders. He speaks for them at least once a month, if not every couple weeks, and has been in the business for at least 8 years. So last we went through a checklist of some things to be thinking about when rehab, pitfalls to avoid. We just got overwhelmed with the topic. I know, Ryan, you teach full-day classes on this. So I rarely do a two-week back-to-back show on the same topic, but this we were just anxious to have you on the show, Ryan. So welcome, and thanks for being here. Really appreciate it.
No problem, Mark. No problem.
Well, maybe, Ryan, what I could do is give you a little summary of what we talked about last week, and then we'd love to get your insights on these topics. And I'm sure you've got a few more tips that you want to add to that, something that we missed, I'm sure. We've been after such a huge area for discussion topic. How's that sound? Sound good for you?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. Well, thank you. So we're having kind of a hard time hearing you, too. So when you comment next, maybe if you're on a headset, just try to get close to that mic. So anyway, last week, here's some of the things that the key points that we covered last week. Number one was getting trained and educated. If you're going to do rehabbing, make sure you're getting some support, some training. It's an ongoing learning process. It doesn't mean like you need to go to school for 5 years before you do your first rehab, but you don't want to just go to a weekend class for 5 days and think you got it down. So it's constant training and education. Number two is remain flexible. The market's going to change. If you want to be successful in rehabbing, you got to be flexible. Your market could change on a dime, what you're doing. I'm sure, Ryan, you've got some great stories about that and how to prevent a loss by being flexible. Play to your strengths. Hire people to help you in your areas that you need. Don't try to do everything. Finding your rehabs is critical. Auctions, networking, working with agents, telling people what you do,
educated on this, partnering with others, using IRAs can be a huge benefit. And once you learn how to raise money, it can be easy. So we had a couple other pitfalls here of over-rehabbing to the area, because you want to think you're going to live there someday, so you over-rehab and lose money. And another major pitfall is trying again to do all the work yourself. So those are a few areas we've covered, Ryan, and I know we could talk about each one of those and comment them a little better, but what are your thoughts, Ryan? First one, you're out there educating people. How critical is it for you to stay educated on this topic? Are you learning new things regularly?
Oh, man, every single day, education is always going to be the key, you know, to success in anything, especially this business. Like you said, the market's continuously changing, and, you know, it's important to surround yourself with people that, in essence, are always someone that you would consider smarter than yourself, because getting into a new venture with anything can definitely be scary for a lot of people. And really, it's just because they have a lack of confidence. And the lack of confidence is always going to be based around lack of education in something. And the more education we get, the more confident we become. And in this business, the more confident that we become, the more risk we're willing to take on. And so someone even like myself, 8 years down the road, hundreds of projects down the road, you know, what I looked at as risky when I first got into this business, I laugh at today because I'm comfortable with that now, and that's growth, because that's a good thing. But in order to keep growing, you have to consistently find things that make you uncomfortable, and you start taking on a lot more risk in the business. You start taking on riskier deals than you ever did before. And so even myself, I still have a mentor. I have a coach. I have someone that I talk to a couple times a week who's, you know, this is someone who's done thousands upon thousands of rehabs. And so this is someone that I can count on and depend on to help me, you know, eliminate some of my fears when I do take on some extremely risky projects that I haven't taken on in the past. So, yeah, man, when it comes to education is always going to be the key to your success. Education is basically to success as marketing is to your business. And I know you mentioned marketing a little bit and how to generate leads. Maybe we'll talk about it in a little bit, but that's something I really love talking about, because that's the biggest part of this business. And no leads will always equal no deals. So education is always to your success as marketing is always new to your business. So, you know, obviously that's why I've always loved surrounding myself around people like you as well, just because you're so educated, and I'm sure you can attest to I probably bug you a little too much trying to pick your brain, trying to learn as much about this business, my situations legally, tax-wise, as I possibly can. So education's everything, in my opinion.
Well, I love it. Great comment. And I like how you said that it just never ends, because you can always learn something new in a different type of rehab or a different market. On that, let's jump ahead to one of the topics that we started to run out of time with last week, and you mentioned this when it came to education on how to get leads. That was one of the major barriers that came up in some questions. And folks, if you have a quick question for Ryan on the show here today, want to type it up in the chat line or call in, please do so. You can email me, mark@markjkohler.com. You can dial in 646-200-4285, press the number 1, and Lisa will bring you out from the studio, or you can just type on the chat line there if you're listening from your computer. So, Ryan, that education can open up a lot of opportunities to raise capital. You just talked about that marketing aspect of generating leads. A lot of people think, I've got to be rich to do rehabs. I just talked to someone yesterday, literally. Someone said, well, don't I need a lot of money to start doing rehabs? Is that true? I mean, Ryan, where's that education start to pay off when you learn how you can build leads and network?
Well, you know, when it comes to money in general, that's to money and needing money to do this business. You know, there are situations, obviously, you're gonna need money. Doesn't have to be yours, right? So I'm sure everyone on this radio show has already heard other people's money. You know, you definitely want to use other people's money. You can use OPC, other people's credit. Or you can, you know, use OPE, other people's everything. So if you don't have if you don't have something specific that you're bringing to the table on the deal, what the education is going to do is it's going to teach you what else you need to get that deal done and where to go find it. And, you know, in my opinion, a lot of people, when they dive into this business, they're so concerned about money or lack of money, and that's their focus, and that really stops them from getting started. And I'm here to tell you that money is the last thing you want to focus on in this business, because when you truly learn the business and you get that financial education, especially when it comes to real estate investing, you're going to notice that it's going to start raining money from the sky, because there's plenty of people out there that want to get a higher and better rate of return on their money than they're currently getting right now. And they just need to know and feel comfortable that their money's safe with you, meaning that you're a performer, you have a track record, and they're not going to make those returns without you. And so typically, if you can, you know, your best private money lenders and the best place in this business to get money are people that don't even know that they're lenders. They're people you already have a relationship with. They already have money sitting around somewhere in a bank or in the stock market or in a CD or in a 401k, sitting around doing nothing, and they don't even know that they're lenders until you show them how it works. Now, you know, let's say you have someone that has $100,000 sitting in a bank earning 0.25% interest, doing nothing, which most people do. Over a six-month time frame, which is, you know, the amount of time that you can get a rehab done, their money in the bank is earning them $125. If you paid them a 10% annualized return, in those same 5-6 months, they're making $10,000, right, or $5,000 instead of that $125. And so for most people, it's a no-brainer. And I would say that everyone on this radio show right now has people in their life right now that would lend them money to do a deal if they were confident in your ability to perform and do deals. They're just not. That's why they probably wouldn't give it to you now.
Yeah, and I think this goes back to that education point. Kendall and Darren last week, going through so many wonderful tips and strategies, they had built such a strong reputation with their investors that they were confident in them. And I think what you're saying here is the same thing, that if with education, it's almost as good as money, because this is what people that have day jobs don't have the time to do, is go get educated, study up the strategies, go get their feet wet. And it's true, you're going to get bruised and beat up once in a while on a rehab. You're always trying to make money, but sometimes you're going to hit a home run. Sometimes it's just a base hit. But with that education, you are bringing something to the table. So let me ask specifically, Ryan, what are some of the best ways that you know to get leads and raise capital? That was one of the – and we'll get into some of these, you know, successful procedures once you get that rehab going. But we're kind of going in reverse here a little bit from last week. How do you find money? What are some of the techniques you use?
So at this point in my career, Mark, and anyone can get to this point in their career, the money always finds me. I don't have to find money anymore. The money finds me because I have such a track record of being a performer in this business, which, by the way, I started out this business not knowing what I was doing, ended up with five foreclosures, a short sale. So anyone can get to the position that I'm in right now. But at this point in my career, the money really ends up finding me. And I'm really, at this point in my career, if I allow someone to participate on a deal with me and be a lender, I'm doing them more of a favor than they're doing me, because I have access to the money. And so it goes back to my point of, you know, a lot of times people think the hardest part about this business is finding money, and it's not, because money follows money. It always has. And it always will. Money always flows in the direction that it feels like it's going to be treated best. So if you know what you're doing, you're able to get people great returns, that money's always going to follow you. Money follows deals. But what people don't realize, the hardest part about this business is finding deals that no one knows about, right? Finding deals that you don't have to compete with, that have a spread where not only after your rehab, after your closing costs, after your staging costs, after your utilities, after your private money costs, there's still some profit that would go into your pocket. And so
I like,
as far as finding money, though, I just want to throw out a disclaimer, Mark, if you're okay with that, because
sure.
A lot of times people think, you know, oh, well, if I use someone else's money, it's less risky. Well, it is to your bank account, but is it really? Because it's about your reputation, and it's about someone's livelihood, and you have the ability, once you get educated in the right way, to really help a lot of people out in your life that don't have money knowledge and don't know how to have money make money and show them how to make returns. But here's my disclaimer. If you're not willing to liquidate your parents' savings, their lifetime savings, what they've been saving for retirement their whole life to do a deal, then odds are you're probably not ready to use other people's money, because you have to be that confident and you have to be able to go into deals with 100% confidence, because you can predict the future of what's happening in that deal. And the only way you're going to get that way, and I keep going back to it, is just the education of the business. Because, like you said, you know, education is almost just as good as money. In my opinion, it's better, because money can come and go. You can make a bunch of money, but you can lose it very quickly. And then with the knowledge, you can make it back again. But if you don't protect your assets properly, someone can come and take the money from you, even though they don't deserve it. But you can always make it back, right? Knowledge, no one can ever take it from you, and it's always going to be there, and that's always what's going to take you to the next level. And here's what I can tell you. As long as you know more about money and how to use money to make money than the person that's sitting in front of you that you're asking to use their money, odds are they're going to give you their money. Because all it takes for them is to see someone that has the word financial in front of their title, and they give them their money. You know, so it's
well,
really
I,
about
you know,
getting
I
the track
like,
records.
Well, I like this perspective you're bringing today to quote unquote part two of rehabbing property, is that the emphasis again on education, but the barrier not being money. This is something we covered last week, that the biggest barrier doesn't have to be money. But I like your thought there of finding deals can be a big barrier. Tell us how you find your deals. So I've got the money, I've got my education, I'm looking for rehab properties. How do I find them?
So this is where you have to become a ninja when it comes to marketing. And this is where you have to have an always-on model. So what I always like to teach when I'm educating over weekends all over the country, I teach marketing all weekend, because marketing is everything in your business. No leads will always equal no deals consistently. And so the whole goal is, how do I build an automated marketing machine? That's the key word, automated. An automated marketing machine that's generating more leads than time through an always-on model. You want the lead generation automated so that you can do what's most important: meet with sellers, estimate repairs, and get your offers in. Because nothing happens in this business without leads, and nothing happens in this business without education. And so, as far as that's concerned, with leads, we use five always-on campaigns. And so, the first thing we do is we have our bandit sign system. So we have our bandit sign system, and if you want, do you want me to spend about 10 minutes just on this topic, Mark, and just walk you through each system that I use and kind of explain the difference between all the systems for marketing?
No, I think it's great. I know that I tend to chime in a little bit more. I apologize if I've tried to cut you off at a point or two, but this is
no
great
problem.
Information you're sharing, and I want to say this for our listeners, that we're going to let Ryan go about 5 minutes before the end of the show, and I want to talk about the hot deductions most small business owners miss, including the rehabbers, and we're going to be having a webinar Thursday night at 5 o'clock to go into in-depth for that for an hour. But in the last 5 minutes, I want to hit some of those major points. So that gives us about 10, 15 minutes at most. So, yeah, go jump into it. I think having more systems out here for these folks is really, really helpful. So, yeah, how are you generating leads? What are these systems? This is great.
Okay, so right off the bat, we have our bandit sign system. So all of you, I'm sure, have seen bandit signs, right? Bandit sign is just a call to action. It's a sign you can put up, you know, somewhere around town. if you're going to be doing bandit signs, I will warn you that, you know, this is something that not all jurisdictions allow. They don't want you to put signs up, so you have to do your research. But I can also tell you that being an entrepreneur is trading risk every day in business for profit. So you have to decide what your risk threshold is, the same way that when you drive faster than the speed limit, you're risking a ticket and getting a fine. The same thing can happen with a bandit sign. So I'm not telling you to put bandit signs up if it's not allowed where you live. I'm not telling you not to. You have to make that decision as a business owner. But when it comes to bandit signs, and you are doing a bandit sign run, you want to put up 35 to 50 at a time. And so what you're going to do is this isn't something you just do. You have to really methodically think it out. And so what you're going to do is you're going to print out a map of wherever it is that you're putting these signs up for MapQuest, for example, and then you're going to start putting dots. You're going to draw up the route of the exact route that you're going to have your signs up, and then you're going to have dots of everywhere that you're going to put the sign up, but then you're just going to follow that route. And then, ultimately, once you get these other systems that are coming into play that I'm going to talk about in the next couple minutes, and leads are just coming in, you're most likely not going to put bandit signs up yourself anymore, because it's not going to be in your highest and best use of time. But at this point, you can hire someone from Craigslist at $10 an hour, and you're just going to hand them the map with the route and all the dots of where to put the signs up. And because you've already done it and you're paying them by the hour, you know how many hours it should take to put up 35 signs. So you know you shouldn't pay them more than 3 hours, which is $30. And make sure once you outsource this that whoever you hire to put up your signs, you have them take a photo every single time the sign's up. So if their job was to put up 30 signs and they come back to get paid, you got to see 30 photos of 30 signs plain and clear up in different locations. Okay, so
now what do these what do these signs say? What do these signs say? What are they? What are some? So, are you coming to that, or what? Or just quickly, what are these signs?
I'll walk into it right now. So I mean, I'm sure we've seen We Buy Houses. We've seen We Buy Houses, Cash Fast, right? Things like that. All of these things work. Okay, all of these things work, but these are things that people have consistently seen, and so what you really need to start thinking about when you're marketing is your message. Your message that people are reading, and what type of lead are you trying to attract? So for me, for example, my main focus in this business and the least competition you're going to find is in the arena of pre-foreclosure, where you're marketing to people that are in pre-foreclosure or late. Maybe they already have an auction date or they're late. And then what we do is once we generate the lead, we show them how we can set up a short sale, negotiate the short payoff, and then we come in as the cash buyer. So, for example, a lot of times you see We Buy Houses or We Buy Houses Cash Fast or someone's name buys houses, right? That's all good, but, for example, if someone's driving by a We Buy Houses sign and it says, We Buy Houses, and they're driving by going, oh, well, yeah, they buy houses, honey, but we shouldn't call that sign because we owe $200,000 more than our house is worth. Why would anyone ever buy ours? Well, because they don't know your systems and that you can negotiate short payoffs, help them avoid foreclosure. So, for example, you need to be more specific. So in that specific type of lead, my bandit signs would say, if you owe more than your house is worth, we want to buy it, phone number. Bam. Done. So now I'm being specific. I'm speaking specifically to people that are over-leveraged. And then, of course, when you have a good short sale system in place on the back end, now you're just filling your pipe with short sales. Another good message on a sign is, a lot of times people, they're maybe thinking about selling their house, but they don't want to deal with agents. They don't want to deal with listing it. They don't want to deal with contingencies and all this different stuff and paying commissions. So another one could be, sell your house fast, pay no realtor commission, phone number. Bam. That can be another message as well. So really, you just want to start thinking about what type of lead am I trying to attract? And then, of course, it's all about testing and measuring. So once your marketing systems are in place, now it's extremely important to track where your leads are coming from and never fail to ask the most important question when the lead contacts you, which is, how'd you hear about us? Because ultimately, they say, well, I saw. What's that?
Oh, Ryan, I want to interject a quick question from one of our listeners here, too. And I want you to finish the sign lead generation strategy. But I just had an email from one of our listeners that says, in my jurisdiction, the city is tenacious with sign ordinances. It's extremely difficult to try to generate leads from signage. And he just said, before you finish this example, Ryan, would you please mention auction or other ways you find properties too, other than through a sign strategy?
I definitely
strategy.
Will.
Okay,
I definitely
good. Thank
will.
Thank you
now,
so much.
I don't buy at auctions because that's a lot of speculation. You have to be very good at construction laws, which we are, but we have so many leads coming in without auctions. There's a lot of speculation involved. You don't know what amount of rehab needs to be done because you can't get inside the house. You don't know if the homeowner's still living there. Things like this. The only auctions I participate in are the online auctions, like a Hubzoo or an auction.com, because they give you 7 days before the bid is due to actually go look at the house and get inside the house. And, you know, because I'm a licensed agent with By the Way, if you want to operate at the highest level in this business, you should have your real estate license. It's going to open doors and give you quick access to properties so you can make quick decisions and get your offers in. I don't do auctions. So the second one, so Bandit Sign Systems first. The second one is our MLS offer system. So the MLS is the most competitive place to do deals, and you're competing with everyone. However, if you start laying down your roots and branding yourself the right way in your community, the MLS can be very solid for you. It's going to take a couple years to really establish that brand. But when it comes to the MLS offer system, you want to be making 80 offers a month, every single month, 80 offers a month. That's your goal. You're putting in 80 offers a month, every single month. And it's not about the 80 offers, because you might only get one or two out of the 80 accepted. But it's about the fact that there's a listing agent behind each one of those offers, and it gives you an opportunity to follow up every 3 days to see what's going on with the offer, but also just create more rapport, find more commonality, and create more of a relationship with these specific agents and let them know who you are. And the consistency in the MLS comes from your follow-up. So I have currently 9 rehab projects going right now. I live up in Sonoma County, up in wine country, so this is where I do this business. And a lot of them are leads from the MLS, and I would say 80% of our deals we do on the MLS are because of our follow-up is so strong. So our original offer didn't get accepted, but because we're so persistent in our follow-up with the agents and letting them know, hey, you know, there's some major foundation issues on this house, odds are whoever you have this offer accepted with, they're probably not going to be able to get the foundation done at the price that you have it tied up for, but we can. We already have our teams in place, our crews in place. I've already walked the house 3 times. When they cancel and back out during inspection period, can you commit to bringing me this deal first and not going live and active again? I'll close in 7 days and be done. So the MLS Ooh. Is very crucial to get your name out there, but you have to follow up consistently. And 80% of the deals we're doing right now in the MLS are because our original offer didn't get accepted, but it fell out of escrow and they just bring it to us first. So that's good with the MLS. Now, quick tip on the MLS, you're looking for properties that need work. More work, the better. In your 80 offers a month, you're not trying to target houses that retail buyers are going after because you don't want to compete with them. You're looking for houses that need a lot of work. You're looking for houses that banks will not finance. Obviously, at that point, they need cash buyers. So that's our second system, is our MLS offer system. Our third system is our direct mail system. So we have a direct mail system, and we have 19 different lead types that we target and market to within our direct mail system. So we're targeting, for example, pre-foreclosure leads. We're targeting absentee landlords, which is a landlord that owns a property where you live, but they live in a different state. We're targeting free and clear landlords, people that own properties that don't have a mortgage. We're also targeting bankruptcy leads. We're targeting divorce leads. So we're doing a lot of direct mail. We have all of our campaigns written. But then what we're doing is, and this is the key to direct mail where most people fail. Most people fail at direct mail. They only have one call to action, which is pick up the phone and call me. Well, that's great, but only 7 to 13% of the people are going to pick up the phone and call you depending on the campaign. So the second call to action is you have to drive them somewhere online that you can actually capture the lead. So, for example, if I'm marketing to someone in pre-foreclosure, I would say, you know, pick up the phone and call us now so we can discuss all your options, or go to, for example, freezeforeclosurenow.com if that was your website, to get your free copy of the top 5 things you can do to stop foreclosure in the next 2 days. So now they're not picking up the phone and calling you, but they're going to the squeeze page, and the only way to get their that free offer and learn those top 5 things is to give you their information, which now means they're in your database, and now you get to follow up. And that's what it's all about, follow up. So we have our direct mail system. Then we have our social media and blogging system. So social media and blogging is a great way to create organic results based around any type of searches. So anything that has to do with anything that you would be in business for, in this business, if you're a real estate investor, anything that cash buyers would be searching for, private lenders, people in pre-foreclosure, this and that, you need to make sure to start targeting those keywords and start using all of those keywords in your social media systems and in your blogging systems as well. That's going to help create some organic rankings for you. And then we have our online lead capture systems as well, where for every different type of lead type, we have our squeeze page site, our one-page site set up that are organically optimized to drive traffic online as well. And so when it comes to marketing, I mean, I can teach about marketing for 3 whole days, so just to sum it up in 10 or 15 minutes is kind of challenging, but those are our systems. We use our Bandit Sign system. We use our MLS offer system. We use our direct mail system. We use our social media and blogging system, and then we use our online lead capture system as well, and it's an always-on model. So what's happening is if you're consistent with this, you'll start generating more leads than time, and that's how you make money in this business, is having leads pouring in.
Man, this has been just incredible. Ryan, thanks. This is awesome. And it's really, I know that you had a chance to listen to a little bit of last week's show, but it really works hand-in-hand with a lot of the topics we covered last week on, you know, mistakes you can make once you start the work. And hiring unlicensed and paying folks and paying people under the table and rehabbing too much. And I want to challenge everybody, if you're listening to this and taking fervent notes, please go back and listen to last week's show, part one, because it's funny how things work. I don't think Ryan said one thing that really overlaps from last week's show, except for that education point and how important it is. Well, Ryan, I know you've only got a couple more minutes. So in the last couple minutes, is there any call to action you have for folks? Do you want people to get in touch with you for any reason or purpose? I know that this was a generous offer of your time. You've been such a great client over the years, and so I'm grateful that you found a few minutes to be with us. But do you want to send any folks anywhere to get more information about you and what you're teaching?
Well, yeah, I mean, they can if they want. I mean, I'm a student of the business, and I have mentors. My mentors are Fortune Builders. That's an organization that's definitely amazing and educating, and that's who I teach with, and I travel around the country. So, you know, Fortune Builders, if they're interested in seeing if we have, we do seminars every week and all over the country, 3-day seminars. If they're interested in learning more, they can contact Fortune Builders for $200, them and a guest can attend one of Fortune Builder's events for, you know, 3 days straight and learn in depth the things that I'm talking about. And really the last thing I just want to say, Mark, is, you know, in this business, as a rehabber, as a developer, as a builder, I want you to understand that every decision you make along the way as a builder or as a developer, as you're rehabbing a project, is all going to become part of your story that you tell once you hit market. And the story that you tell once you hit market is going to be everything to your brand and to your business, because the first people that read the story are the real estate agents. And the realtors will either be your best friends or your worst enemy. And so it's important to make the right decisions along the way to make sure you tell the right story when you hit market, because when you tell the right story, your houses sell right away, They get over asking and multiple offers every single time. And so how do you tell the right story? You don't cut corners. And you make sure that the finish work and the little details, the things that are the most minor things, those are the things that are going to be the biggest part of your story. And if you do things that you shortcut that are minor, they're going to associate that to you using bad contractors, and they're also going to start thinking, what else did they shortcut or halfway on this house that we can't see? We can see all these minor things, but what else? And so that leads me into just real quick over rehabbing.
I wanted to make sure you told me, Mark, I gotta be done by 5 minutes till, and so I know you could keep going for another 2 hours. Do you want to comment on over rehabbing, or should I let you go? And I really appreciate your time.
I'm gonna go in 2 minutes. I just want to hit something real quick.
Okay, that's good. Thanks.
Yeah, just real quick. So when you're telling the story, and I tell this because I see this happen all the time, all my quote-unquote competitors where I live, they hit market, their houses sit, and they drop price, and they drop price, and they drop price, and they sell them. And what happens is they sit on market for 100 days, 110 days. Our house is selling 2-3 days over asking multiple offers. The difference is the decisions we're making on our design decisions and the stamps and templates that we use with our kitchens and our bathrooms and our design sense. And I just want to share this because there's a difference between over-rehabbing and selling houses. Over-rehabbing means you put Carrera marble, for example, in a house that you're selling at a $300,000 price point. That's over-rehabbing. But over-rehabbing is not adding a wine fridge, adding a farm sink, having granite with tile backsplash going all the way up in between the cabinet and the countertops. Those aren't over-rehabbing. That's called selling houses. Those are the things that make people want it and fight for it. So just make sure that you're not shortcutting. And ultimately, you really need to research your market, different zip codes, price points, and really start learning what the median price point is in specific areas, what the income level of the buyers are in those areas, and the finished product they expect. You do that finished product and sprinkle some sizzle features in, like a wine fridge that'll cost you an extra $300, or a farm sink that'll cost you an extra couple hundred dollars, or tile backsplash all the way up the wall that will cost you maybe an extra $1,000 that if you didn't do it, once you really learn the business and get your labor, it's where they need to be. These are the things that are going to sell houses consistently and get people fighting over your houses.
Ryan, I love it. And folks, you can see, once you get an expert going like this, he's passionate about it. I know that he wanted to be done a little early, and he's got to go. Ryan, thank you so much for being here. I really, really appreciate it. You're awesome.
No problem, my man. No problem. Thanks for having me, and I'll talk to you soon about the checkbook control LLC.
We'll do it. Hey, folks, thanks, Ryan. And, folks, we didn't get a chance to get into these hot deductions, travel, dining, entertainment, home office, PDAs, laptops. Please tune in Thursday night at 5 p.m. If you want to know how to get into the webinar, just email me or my staff will help you do the lineup contact info for that. Thursday night at 5 p.m. Stay tuned. Folks, thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.